Ladies and gentlemen and children of all ages, the Anchor Podcasting Network is proud to bring you the Someday award-winning podcast, Double Tap, presented by Mulraney Media. I am your host, Mike Mulraney. This is the podcast for best practices in social media, news affecting the industry, and a discussion about freelancing and consulting. In this week's episode, we're going to be discussing Mark Zuckerberg's op-ed in the Wall Street Journal for Facebook's 15th anniversary, changes to Twitter replies, the importance of hashtag games and hashtags on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and an honest conversation about getting started on Fiverr and Fiverr freelancing services. Big news on the Twitter front this week. If you're like me and you've experienced with some of the brands or accounts you use, you go to bed, you wake up, all of a sudden you open up TweetDeck or Hootsuite, and you just see a ton of mentions that you didn't see last night or when you were leaving work the night before. And you're wondering, why did this happen? How did this start? Was the thread originally positive? Was it negative? Were you tagged in a news story that set something off? Were you tagged in an advertisement you were running? And, or were you tagged by, did a competitor run an ad and you were tagged in it by a consumer that you use or that someone else uses? And you're just trying to spend the day figuring out, how did this happen? How many replies are out there? Where does the thread break down? Did everybody reply all to the thread? Did some people take your handle out? Well, now Twitter has announced that some users are seeing an author tab or an author designation next to the original tweeter's handle. This is a lot like the tiny microphone that was rolled out on Reddit, where you can now see the person who started the thread throughout the entirety of the thread and where they respond to different users. The other way that Twitter has begun rolling this out to different users is that that individual's profile in the thread will be a different color than everyone else. If it were up to me, I would prefer the author designation. I'm sure Twitter could put in the little Twitter bird or the little feather where you write your tweets out that's on the tweet button. Those are the two things that I would like to see rather than changing of the color, because then I think you're getting into a... It's easier to tell the little designation and the changes of color. And then when people are replying, all are replying just to one individual person, does that new thread then spark a different color when there's splinters off of these threads? Because some people know not to tag everyone in a conversation and just reply to the one person you're replying to. Or if you're having a group message and one person tries to splinter away, I don't like the idea of looking at kind of the NBC peacock throughout my Hootsuite or TweetDeck. I think it would be much easier for the one originator to have their one designation, to have their little bird next to them, so that you know where this all came from and what was the originator. I like that Twitter is beginning to make its platform more content creator friendly like this. Twitter every once in a while will roll out something where images no longer count against the tweet maximum, or the quote retweets were there and left and came back, and the expanding of how many characters can be in a tweet and their relationship with Periscope and the top of the app and the sidebar on desktop of who's live and what kind of main events are happening that evening. This is another way for Twitter to reach out to content creators and advertisers and social media managers so that we can better keep a handle on what kind of mentions we're getting, what is sparking this kind of engagement, if it's something we've created, if it's something a fan has created, if it's something that's coming from publishers, if it's something that's coming negatively. We're able to identify users who are in our camp, who are against us, who are favorable to certain types of advertising. And we can go out and also with Twitter, you can buy advertisements for tweets of different users, which I really like as well because it shows a more grassroots advertising campaign. When you find somebody with 12,000 tweets and 86 followers who's just tweeting out that they like your brand of razors or your brand of dish soap, and you can run that as an advertisement and get more eyeballs on their account, which they'll love because they're a high volume tweeter that can't catch on, or that other users will like because they're seeing that if they tweet favorably about your product, then maybe you'll feature them with your kind of advertising budget. And Twitter is getting unique with this, and this is another way that Twitter is reaching out to us and making their platform more user-friendly. And I'm very excited to see when it's going to get rolled out for everyone. Again, I would like to see that this be the kind of author tab and not the changing of colors, because I think you're going to have too many different threads and too many different colors. The author tab seems like it's the easiest thing for users, marketers, and managers alike. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'm looking forward to seeing any more kinds of user-friendliness that Twitter can roll out over the next year. The next topic I'd like to cover, we hit on a bit on our IGTV network, on our Instagram channel, Mulroney Media. And that is Mark Zuckerberg's op-ed in the Wall Street Journal, celebrating Facebook's 15th anniversary, while also getting into a broader discussion about the algorithm, how targeted advertisement works, and how users can control the types of ads that they see. The op-ed is up on our Facebook page, Mulroney Media. And from there, I believe it's a link that gets you beyond the paywall for those of you who do not have a Wall Street Journal account. Mark Zuckerberg is no stranger to writing op-eds and placing them in major papers of record. Zuckerberg, of course, wrote an op-ed before his testimony for the United States Congress in regards to the Cambridge Analytica scandal of 2016 and 2017 that brought about the changes to political advertising on their platform. I really enjoyed Mark Zuckerberg's op-ed in the Wall Street Journal last week because it was passionate, it was articulate, and it was positive press for our industry and for Facebook as a tool to bring people together and also a tool for us to sell users advertising. Mark Zuckerberg went in and said, Facebook does not sell data. It's never sold data. And that's one of the large misnomers of the Cambridge Analytica scandal, was that Facebook was selling your data to third-party clients, or they were selling your data to other users. Facebook keeps all of its data in-house, and that's how we're able to use our detailed targeting to reach individuals. And then he went into saying Facebook is a free service. It's always going to be free. There's never a threat of a user fee to use Facebook. We're trying to get as many people on the platform as possible. And the exchange in that is that users will see advertisements that individuals like myself and like some of those listening to this podcast are going to purchase. One of the best reasons for this op-ed is that it reminds people that they have control over the type of advertisements they see. Facebook's algorithm isn't perfect. And Mark Zuckerberg says that when he's mentioning clickbait and fake news. Sometimes it gets through his workers or his computers that are designed to take that kind of stuff out. So sometimes the algorithm makes a bad judgment about your Facebook page. It draws the wrong conclusions from pages you like or actions you've taken on the page. Everything you interact with, ads, pages, posts, Facebook saves to get you the best possible advertisements so that you're seeing products you like, your feed's not being clogged with things you're uninterested in. And individuals like me can sell you the best advertising, and that we and our clients are getting the best bang for their buck so that we continue to spend money through Facebook's ad client. And a lot of people don't know this, but if you go into your Facebook settings, you can go through each and every tab and see the kind of inferring Facebook has done about you and about what your interests are. And you can go in those little boxes and you click the little X and you tell them that you're not interested in that, or you no longer wish to see ads regarding that topic or those keywords. Or Facebook also even guesses what your political ideology is based on what and who you interact with. Even if you've never interacted with a political page, it makes a judgment based off of what you have interacted with. And then when you even see ads in your feed, you can, on the top right-hand corner, there's a little arrow, you can hit the drop down. And you can say, I'm not interested in this ad. I don't want to see ads from this advertiser, which is big too, because if there is a specific company you're not interested in, or you've had a negative experience with them in the past, it prevents you from seeing it, and it helps advertisers not pay to reach you anymore. And then you could even snooze them where you won't see them for 30 days. If you spend too much around the holidays, or you spend too much on Valentine's Day, or you don't want to see ads about Valentine's Day, you can snooze ads from this advertiser and not see them for 30 days. Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg's op-ed are basically explaining the cycle that Facebook creates between its program, its interface, its users, and its advertisers, where individuals create content and the users like that content, or they like that page, or they hide that page, or they don't want to see it, or they unfollow it or unlike it. And then that information goes from Facebook to us, and we're able to sell the most up-to-date product to the user. And these kind of op-eds quell the fears that a lot of users and a lot of people have felt about just how hyper-targeted these advertisements can be on the Facebook platform. And I'm sure just in day-to-day life, you'll hear the stories or from your friends, maybe not people in our industry, saying, oh, I went to Express's website and I put a shirt or a sweatshirt in the cart, but I didn't buy it. And then I went to Facebook's page and there it was. And they haven't heard of Facebook Pixel, or they don't understand how we're necessarily able to do that. And Zuckerberg, to his credit, even says in the article, that kind of stuff can be scary if you don't understand it, or it's not something you're familiar with. And when things like this come out, where Zuckerberg begins to try to explain it for the 15th anniversary and try to keep Facebook growing, for the people using it, for the people buying ads on it, for the content creators. This ends up being a net positive for our industry because it shows that they're interested in keeping everybody involved and they're interested in keeping everybody connected to their product. And this is going, and especially with Zuckerberg beginning his town halls on the future of technology that we talked about in episode one of this podcast and on episode one of Quick Hits Double Tap on the Instagram. He's going to go around the country and talk about the future of technology and the future of virtual reality, augmented reality, how the internet can bring us together, what is kind of the future of automation, all of these different things that Zuckerberg's tied into his New Year's resolution. If he's going to take advertising seriously and he wants to quell people's fears as he hits the road, he's going to make this process as transparent as possible. That means people going into their settings, into their newsfeed dropdowns, giving us the kind of feedback on ads we need to improve their experience. They improve our experience. Facebook improves everyone's experience. So this year is going to be a big year, year 15 for Facebook, for its website, its users, and individual marketers and social media managers like you and I. I want to talk about something in this segment that I thought was kind of cool that happened on the Mulroney Media Instagram page this week. And that is, for the first time, I was looking for filler content for the Instagram that wasn't necessarily a picture of my cat Minnie for Catterday. And that was that Twitter was trending on National Compliment Day. So I went through and I tried to find the best quote about compliments that I could. And I hadn't necessarily done this for my own brand yet. So I was interested to see how a business page could grow and what and how the hashtags work compared to some of the other ones I use. And this one for National Compliment Day, quote by Mark Twain, I loved it as soon as I read it. The happy phrasing of a compliment is one of the rarest of human gifts, and the happy delivery of it another. And it did pretty well in regards to how static images and quote images have worked on my new Instagram channel to this point. And for the first time also, one of the posts from my page ended up on another small business's Instagram account and their story. Because it was positive, it was uplifting, and another small business from the city of Albany, where I'm largely stationed, saw it, liked it, put it up, and then I reshared it from their story to my story. And I basically got a day and a half out of this one image that took me, you know, the longest part of it was finding a complimentary quote that I liked and thought would do well compared to putting it into my, you know, Canva.com editor so I could set up kind of a quote image to plug it all in. And this kind of experience with these kind of hashtag games, especially hashtag games where you can get a quote involved that's not necessarily a ton of work for your side hustle, but it's free advertising that leaves people happy and leaves people connected with one another. And that's one of the things that I've been trying to work with for this podcast and for the Mulroney Media Instagram account and Facebook page and Quick Hits, is that one of the things that struck me about Reddit, and I've said this last week's episode for Useful Websites, there's so much kindness around the internet small business community. And there's so much kindness in Reddit small business community, entrepreneurship, the subreddits for useful websites, and in my city of small businesses helping each other out. And I feel like I would like more calls into this podcast or individuals reaching out on Facebook and Instagram so we can set something like this up for everyone. We can talk about what worked, what didn't work. We can talk about what websites we've struggled on and which ones we've been successful on. Do you use WordPress or Wix or Squarespace? And it was nice to see what I'm trying to accomplish in all of this come about because I engaged in these kind of hashtag games for the first time for my own personal brand. And it came about in a quote about compliments delivered by Mark Twain on kind of like a filler post that I just wanted to get something up on my Instagram channel that wasn't related to the podcast for the first time in a couple of days. And it brought everything together in a really nice, cool way. And I hope to keep the momentum rolling with this kind of stuff. I'll probably be doing more quotes in the future that kind of espouse what I'm trying to do. And it was a great mixture of who I am, what I'm trying to do, and just positive energy, positive vibes. And I'm glad it worked out this way. It was really cool. I wanted to get it on the podcast too, because I want to keep this kind of positive momentum rolling and good vibes rolling and keep it all out there for everyone. So please help me continue to grow this community so that we can help each other and that we don't fall in the same potholes as other small businesses, other users. Let's keep working together so that we're all successful. I wanted to end episode 3 with kind of my first negative experience rant. This is a Fiverr Festivus for the rest of us. Fiverr was one of the first sites that I wanted to get out there and kind of get my side hustle working on. I'm friends with an individual who's a Fiverr pro who had an interview on CNBC for being one of the first people who turned Fiverr from a side hustle to their main hustle. And they have an ebook about Fiverr success. So I wanted to reach out to her and get an idea of what Fiverr is. She said you'd probably have to start slow. I'm somebody with 6 years of social media PR experience, so I'd probably have to sell my product for a little less than I'd like. And that's all fine. I get paying your dues to move up. But let me tell you this experience with Fiverr that I've had. Fiverr. I've probably gotten 15 messages in 2 weeks. All of them are spam. All of them are users that are messaging me either late at night or late at night in the country they're messaging from. They're trying to get Upwork accounts made is typically their request. They're sending me spam files to the Fiverr Messenger without my consent. There's not a whole lot that I can tell that this platform is doing to prevent spam messages. It doesn't feel like they're quite ready for prime time here. And it's been very frustrating for me, who's somebody who wanted this to get off the ground for Fiverr, who was willing to pay the dues and get paid $5 for a press release that I know how to write, that I've written 100 times for just $5, for something about writing a speech for $5, for writing one Facebook post for $5, you know, whatever I wanted to sell on there for $5, proofreading, up to about like 1,000 words for $5. And what I'm getting is just spam messages over and over and over and over again. There are times now where I'm blocking without responding, and my response rating is going down because I'm not engaging with obvious spam accounts. And it's hurting my overall rating on the site that I haven't even gotten a client for yet, because I won't stop blocking these spam accounts. So I've now begun to just write the letter like K, or how can I help you, real fast. And then there's just either nothing, or it's, can I call you? Do you have Skype? They want to take it off of Fiverr, which is one, prohibited, and two, it's obvious of a spam account, because as soon as you tell them to stay on Fiverr, they either deactivate, or they no longer respond, or they close the ticket with you. My next issue with Fiverr, and I know there's hundreds if not thousands of people who are proofreading for $5 who are writing these kind of things. Fiverr allows you to take these kind of 40-minute multiple choice tests to prove you know what you're talking about if you're first starting. I'm sure they stay on the site throughout. The tests don't work on Safari, which is unbelievable. You have to think Safari is either the first or second most popular media browser in the country. And I can't get anything but a plain white screen when I began the test. I had to run all the tests through Firefox, which on my computer is far slower than Safari since I have a Mac. And there's no warning that these tests don't work in Safari, and the website doesn't know the tests don't work in Safari, because when you go to click out of it, it says you failed the test and you have to wait 24 hours to take the test over. You haven't even engaged in question one. It just popped up a blank window that says it's done loading. So Fiverr isn't Safari friendly. It has no control over their spam issue. And I'm not really sure if they're even doing anything to combat these issues. I've spent 2 or 3 hours on Google trying to figure it out, and there's nothing there. There's no statement from the company. There's no video. There's no about. You just basically block these users. You don't even report them as spam. So I'm still in on Fiverr. I still want to get it off the ground. I promoted it on the Instagram last week because I'm trying to get genuine starting reviews so people can trust me. Even the people who I've read who are successful on Fiverr, they've stated that they've had family members or friends create accounts where then they ask for press releases or something. You put 250 words on a paper and send it back to them. They give you 5 stars. You Venmo them the $5 back. And that's how you kind of get going. It's kind of a, like, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. We'll swap gigs, and then we'll give each other 5 stars and we'll keep it rolling. Or you have to promote your Fiverr through your professional network on LinkedIn or Facebook, which is still, by and large, asking people you know who are your friends or your colleagues who might be doing the same job as you, or maybe there's an individual on your LinkedIn who you want to work with who now can maybe try out your service for $5, but they could just ask you to submit a sample press release or just show them your catalog of things you've written in the past for your current employer. I'm not sure what to make of Fiverr because they don't seem to have a good grasp of their own program, how to deal with spam accounts, and I haven't met or read about a Fiverr person who was successful who didn't kind of get their friends to bolster their review process first. So I'm hoping that either through the content I create on Facebook and Instagram, and through this podcast and through the IGTV channel, I'll get genuine people interested in my Fiverr gigs, or either through my consulting agency to have full-time access to me and what I'm able to do for social media channels. But my Fiverr Festivus, it has been an uphill climb, a Sisyphean effort to get going on this thing, to the point where I wish I never engaged with it, but I want to be successful in it, so I'm going to keep powering through. But if somebody were to stop and ask me on the street, is it worth it? Is it something I should look into? The answer right now would be a flat out no. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to episode 3 of Double Tap, presented by Mulraney Media. I have been your host, Mike Mulraney. Remember, Quick Hits Double Tap comes out on IGTV first, Instagram account Mulraney Media. Be sure to check that out. We're on Fiverr, as you can tell from my last rant, Mulraney Media. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram, Mulraney Media. If we're still working on the Wix website to finish it out, if you have any recommendations on Wix, let me know. I'm very interested in learning more about it as I get my website off the ground. If you're interested in hiring us to perform social media management and marketing, please reach out either through Facebook or Instagram. This podcast is available on the Anchor Network, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Basically, wherever you can get a podcast, you can find us, which means you can stay up to date with social media news, best practices, and an honest and frank conversation about freelancing and consulting. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.